to be like Jesus. Acts chapter 17 again with me this morning. This is part three to a message that I began last Sunday morning, I believe it was, if I remember right. This is part three to a message that I began then. And I just couldn't get away from continuing with this morning, as this is our New Testament book that we're studying through together. We've come to Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, if you're keeping notes with me. I'll bring us up to date with where we are in this particular sermon. I'm going to give you two major thoughts today as we continue on. You know, I was thinking as she was singing, it's such a blessing to see people who are gifted using their gifts for Jesus Christ. You are gifted, young lady. God has given you a gift. There's no question about it. And I appreciate you giving it to Jesus. I read a statement this week in a book that I finished reading. And it goes something like this. It's Pastor Bobby Robertson. And we need to pray for him. He's been struggling with cancer. But he made a statement something along this line, because I don't have it in front of me, but you'll get the basic gist of it. He said, I don't have to keep the light burning. I just have to keep the bulb clean. Doesn't that just sound like Bobby Robertson to you? I'll tell you, this young lady's music singing has the blessing of God upon it. I'm not lifting her up. I'm lifting up the Lord through her. And I know one reason that he does is because her bulb was clean. And I appreciate you being the young lady that the Lord's called you to be. I just wish that you'd rub off on your husband a little bit. You know, Brother Daniel, you know, there's plenty of seats in the back of the balcony, you know, instead of you being on the front row. I'm just kidding with you. Acts chapter 17, in just a moment in just a little while, we'll read our text for today. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on part three to a message that I began entitled Starting Churches. Starting Churches. Let me pray with you and I'll give you this thought. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for how you bless us and how you gift each one of your children. Help us all to find our gifts and to use them for the glory of God. And I pray that you'll take these thoughts this morning that you've laid on my heart, and may you challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat until I get to my thoughts today. In this passage of Scripture, beginning in chapter 17, we're reading about part of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. Now, in these verses before us, verses 1 through 15, we read how Paul and his team came to a city called Thessalonica, and he preached the truth of Jesus Christ there. Some people believed, and a church was established. We see that in verse 4. However, others did not believe and began to attack the truth being taught. Now, as a result of this persecution, Paul and Silas went by night to another city called Berea, and they preached the same truth there. There they met with people who were more interested in the truth, and many were saved. This is verses 1 through 15. You can read it later if you'd like. There they met with these people who had an interest to learn the truth, and many of them were saved. The enemies of the gospel came to Berea also, and they stirred up the people to the point there in that city that Paul had to leave again. But he left Silas and Timothy back behind in Berea to help those new believers in Jesus Christ. So when you read these 15 verses, there are two different cities where Paul brings the truth and people are saved. This is the founding of the churches at Thessalonica and the church at Berea. It's the work of starting churches that God used the Apostle Paul to do. He would go into a city, he would preach the truth of the gospel, and he would leave behind a group of believers who could go on for the glory of God. Now, these verses that are before us, what we're doing is we're bringing out several truths that we can apply to our own lives. Every one of these truths deserve a sermon alone. But I do not want to keep you from now until eternity begins. So let me just tap on the head what I've already preached to you, and I'm going to give you two more truths from these verses here this morning. First of all, we've already noticed the persistence of Paul and Silas, how they just kept on going for God. Secondly, we've already preached on how Paul was predictable. People knew where he would be found and knew what he would be doing, and God's children should be predictable in the things of God. Thirdly, we notice the preaching of Paul and what he preached and also the responses to his preaching. Number four, we've already preached on this. We saw the profession concerning Paul and Silas from the enemies of the gospel. They accuse Paul and Silas of those who have turned the world upside down. And we learned there, I've already preached on it, but what does the world say about you? What does the world say about me? And then we left off with the people of Berea and how they were people who were interested in the book called the Bible. Now today, I want to give you two more thoughts from these verses. As we just travel through these verses together, we've come to verse number 13. And this is the sixth major point from this passage. This, again, is part three to this sermon. This is major point number six. The sixth thing we notice in these verses, here we go now, is we notice the pursuit of the enemy. The pursuit of the enemy. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica, now keep in mind, these are the unbelieving Jews who in the city that some were being saved, they came and Paul and Silas left by night, get it now, when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, notice this now, they came thither also and stirred up the people. As I was studying this passage of Scripture, the Lord showed me this, and it's a challenge. And you know, it's interesting, just about next Sunday night, and just as I'm continuing to prepare for that, there's no doubt the Lord is preparing for Vision Night. Because here in this point, there's a great, great truth that comes out. It's a challenging truth. It's interesting to read in this verse here how when the Jews who were against Paul in Thessalonica, those same Jews heard that he left their city and made the journey to Berea. When they heard that he was down there now preaching the same Bible, they didn't stay in their city. They pursued Paul. They went after him. They went to that city, and the Bible says they stirred up the people against Paul. And they stirred them up against the truth that was being preached. Now stay with me here. I'm going somewhere. They were very active against the truth in Thessalonica. And they were so consumed with this that they were willing to travel a distance to continue their assault on the truth. Now get this. This group of unbelievers were willing to go out of their way for their cause. You know, this goes to show that these enemies of the truth were dedicated to their cause. Their cause of trying to stop the progress of the gospel. They were so dedicated that they pursued Paul to Berea in order to effect the work that he was doing there. Now, folks, there are a couple of ways we can apply what I'm trying to get across here. This pursuit of the enemy. Somebody that has a cause that they don't mind to be uncomfortable to try to fulfill it. What do we learn here? Let me give you two points of application here. Number one, under this, we are reminded here, first of all, that we also have an enemy on the pursuit. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil hates the truth. And he is in pursuit to stop the truth's progress. He desires to wreck, ruin, and destroy the work of God and those who are actively involved in it. Now, that's one way to apply this. That's not really the major application. Here's the major application here under this pursuit of the enemy. Those who are giving their life for something that's ungodly, those that are giving their life for something that's not truth, those that are giving their life to an unworthy cause, yet they are willing to leave their homes and go and travel and be uncomfortable because they're living for their cause. Their cause is bigger than their comfort. You with me? Here's the major application. Does this not challenge us? who are living for the cause of God, understand that we can be challenged by the dedication of these people for their unrighteous cause. And folks, if you don't think we still live in a day where somebody has an unrighteous cause and they're very dedicated, you've got your head buried in the sand. I'm telling you, here's this group who is attacking the truth, that truth could convert their hell-deserving souls. They were so dedicated to this ungodly cause that they were willing to travel to spread their message of doom. I wonder if God's children here today are this dedicated to spreading the truth of the gospel. Now, folks, listen to me. We have the truth. Aren't you glad? We have the truth. There are people around the earth today who are giving their life to a lie. I mean, a lie that's going to end up sending them to hell. We have the truth that Paul preached. This is the same truth Paul preached. Thank God we have the truth today. We have the message of salvation. But are we as dedicated to this as the enemies are in stopping it? The dedication of the enemies of God compared to the dedication of God's people today, look here please, is sickening. It's sickening. There are people today sitting here, listen to me please, God will show us ourselves if we ask Him. I am convinced that there is a number of Christians who think they're dedicated, but they're not. They're not. I want to ask you a question. Are you as dedicated to God and His righteous cause as the enemies of God are as dedicated to stamping His name out of schools, out of businesses, everything else? In case you're not aware of this, we live in a country today that, I'm talking just in general terms, folks, that is living for an ungodly cause. But how dedicated are they? It's sickening. It's sickening that when somebody is more dedicated to the untruth as God's children are dedicated to the truth that we have. I ask you a question. Are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to God? William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, many years ago said this. He said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, even with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with me and them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Does God have all of you? Does He have all of you? Or does He just have part? C.T. Studd, the famous man from England, who played cricket and all these other kind of things, he gave away his wealth and became a missionary a long time ago. His slogan was, and I quote, listen to this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. That's a powerful statement. If Jesus Christ be God, and He is, and He died for me, if God died for me, there's no sacrifice that can be too great that I can give to Him. Vance Havner said this. He said, a wife, this also applies to a husband, but I'm just quoting him. He said, a wife who is 85% faithful to her husband is not faithful at all. Amen. Let me ask you a question, married men. You want your wife to be 85% faithful to you? Let me go further, you want to be 95% faithful to you? Let me go further, you want to be 99.99999 and on infinity faithful to you? No, We all want our wives to be 100% faithful to us, and every wife wants her husband to be 100% faithful to her. Why should we give God less than we give our own mates? Now, folks, I'm telling you, we live in a world of complacency. We live in a world of just casual Christianity. What's the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. People are going to hell as I speak. And they need dedicated Christians who give their life to God's cause like the enemies give their life to the cause of the devil. May God help us never let the devil's crowd out-dedicate themselves to their cause as we dedicate ourselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. Are you truly a dedicated Christian? It's time we realize that we are dedicated to something. Everybody dedicates their life to something. For a child of God, it should be God. Dedicate yourself to Him and Him alone. While attending a university in London, Gandhi became almost convinced that the Christian religion was the one true supernatural religion in the world. Gandhi. He was almost convinced that the Christian religion was the one true supernatural religion. And upon graduation and still seeking evidence that would make him a committed Christian, young Gandhi accepted employment in East Africa, and for 7 months he lived in the home of a family who was a Christian family. As soon as he discovered that fact, he decided that here would be the place to find the evidence he sought. But as the months passed and he saw the casualness of their attitude toward the cause of God, he heard them complain when they were called upon to make sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And since their general religious apathy, Gandhi's interest turned to disappointment, and he said in his heart, so he must have made this known because it's in quotes here, here's what he thought to himself. No, it is not the one true supernatural religion I'd hoped to find, a good religion, but just one more of the many religions in the world. And one Christian family helped create that. Let me ask all of us a question. I'm not preaching at you. Understand by now that when I point at you, I've said this often, I've got three fingers pointing right back at me. I never want to be guilty of preaching at the church. I'm preaching to all. I need this. If God were to put in writing what He sees in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds, in our workplaces, would He write down, there is a dedicated Christian? May I say this to us? Let's stop sweeping things under the rug. Let's stop sugarcoating things. Friends, it's time we understand that if we give our life to anything other than God, we are wasting our life. It's a waste. It will die when you die. You know, there are so many Christians today, and I can't name them, but there's no question there's so many Christians, and so many in this auditorium too. If you're one of them, don't think I know it, okay? God knows it. Because I'll tell you who I have problems with, you're looking at Him. I got to make sure I'm dedicated. I need to be right with God. I need to be fully dedicated to God and the cause of God. There are things calling for our attention all the time. But there are so many Christians today who are just taking their God-given life and throwing it in the garbage can. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When we stand, I'm talking to Christians now, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I've got a feeling we've got a rude awakening coming. I don't want to be an undedicated Christian. I want to be dedicated. Romans 12:11 says this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are you serving the Lord fervently, energetically, dedicated completely? We learned that here. We learned this thought from the pursuit of the enemy, not the pursuit of Paul, but the pursuit of the enemy. They're coming after him. That's the cause that they were living for. They wanted to stop the truth. They wanted to stop Paul. What a terrible way to live life. Amen or not? Terrible thing to give your life to. But they were so dedicated to it that they didn't mind traveling to get it done. And here we are, God's people, God's children, have the truth and sit on it during the week. Are we dedicated? Have we given God all of it? He's wanting it all. This is the sixth thing. There's a final thing here. And boy, this is another big one. You know, sometimes a pastor, a preacher hesitates to, or can be tempted to hesitate to say something because it looks like he's lifting himself up. I want you to know something, friends. I am not lifting myself up, but I'm telling you something that the pastor desperately needs. I'm going to tell you something that every child of God desperately needs. It's right here in this point. You say, what is it? Look at verse 14. This is after they came to Berea, they stirred up the people. Notice this. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Notice verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Can I paraphrase this before I give you the thought? Here Paul is in Thessalonica earlier in the chapter. He's preaching his heart out. He's giving the truth of the gospel. Some are saved. The church is established. The devil's crowd starts getting stirred. They get stirred to the point that Paul moves on. He and Silas leave at night. They come to Berea, and Paul is preaching the truth of the gospel to those Bereans. They're more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind, search the scriptures daily. That's Berea. People, there's a multitude saved there. Another church is established. But there that crowd comes who's pursuing him, who's dedicated to their ungodly cause. They come down and they start stirring people about the truth. They start stirring people about Paul. So it's decided we need to send Paul away. But there were some that said, I'll go with him. There were some that said, I'm going to make sure he gets to the next city safe. I call this the seventh point, the patrons of Paul. You know what a patron is? A supporter. Somebody that's on the same team. An encourager. You know, it's interesting that when they sent him away, others wanted to go with him. They wanted to make sure he arrived safely in Athens. You know what this goes to show? That there was a group of supporters that Paul had. You know, the ministry, I'm talking in general, I'm talking about Christianity, being a real dedicated Christian, if anybody was dedicated Christian, it's Paul, okay, friends? May I say this to you? Being a dedicated Christian, whether you're a pastor, whether you work out in the secular world, if you're a dedicated Christian, let's be honest, it's a lonely place. Amen. It should not be, but it is. Because there are so few people who are giving their life completely to God. It's a lonely place. But I'm going to tell you what cranks a Christian's engine. Is when somebody comes along beside of them and just holds their arms up for God. Somebody comes along beside of them and says, I'm going to tell you something. I'm here for you. One reason I speak about this couple right here so much is because I know they're temporary. I don't want you to think I'm playing favorites because I for sure don't like Daniel at all. But anyway. I don't have a favorite. God knows that. But I don't mind speaking about them because I know we're training them to go out into the mission field to plant a church. This young man told me this week. He said, your vision, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll go with you. That encouraged me. Isn't it good to have encouragers? We all need them. Everybody needs them. I want to ask you a question. When people think of you, do they think an encourager or discourager? I like what one man said. He said noble behavior was seen in that some of the brethren of Berea helped Paul to escape from there. These brethren stayed with Paul all the way to Athens. When some attack us in our Christian service, we can be sure that there will be others who will stand by us and render to us much helpful and encouraging service. And the help these faithful saints give God's man will not go unnoticed by God. But God will duly reward all those who help His servants. They may be nameless, as they were here. We don't know who they are. There are no names. We don't know who these people are. They may be nameless, but God knows who they are. And in due time, He will give them proper recognition for their faithful service to His servants. Note also that once they had gotten Paul safely to Athens, these brethren did not just stop helping Paul. Paul was desirous of having Silas and Timothy come join him. So he sent a commandment. This is verse 15. He sent a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. Who did he send that commandment with? These people here. The brethren received the commandment. They took it back to Berea to give it to Silas and Timothy. There's a group of people. Can I put it this way? God has His little bands of Christians that are just always willing to help. They're just always there. These brethren were most valuable brethren indeed. Would that churches would be filled with this kind. Are you a supporter? This is where I'm talking about myself. I'm talking to the church folks now. Some of you don't know, man, that's a blessing in your life right now. But anyway, because you're visiting with us or whatever. I'm talking to the church people. Are you a supporter of God's man? Are you an encourager of God's man? Or do you stand against him? You say, now, Pastor, are you saying that if I stand against you, are you saying that that's ungodly? Depending on what you're standing against, if you understand what I'm saying to you. If I ever go off biblically, you ought to stand against me. Amen. If I ever go off financially, you ought to stand against me. Amen. If I ever go off morally, you ought to stand against me. Amen. But when in doubt, are you listening to me? This is pastoral preaching here. I'm trying to help you, not because I'm the pastor. I'd say the same thing when that dear man right there was pastoring here or anybody else was pastoring here. This is true, even though it's me. You understand? It's kind of hard to say. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm talking about me here. If in doubt, stand by the pastor. Amen. If you're in doubt, stand by the pastor. Support him. Encourage him. He needs it. He needs it. May I just throw this out to you too? My wife is at home with girls that are showing some signs of sickness, not the flu, thank God, but anyway, she may be listening in, or she probably is. She may kill me for telling you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So if I'm not back tonight, amen, you know what happened. My wife loves you all more than you'll ever know. I'm telling you, I can't explain it. How God puts a love in the heart of the shepherd and the shepherd's wife for the sheep. I can't explain it. And I'll tell you this, in her heart, she wants to love on every one of you. Look here, she can't. Let me tell you how you can help her. Go to her. Encourage her. And say, Miss Becky, I'd like for you to help me with some things. Would you be willing to do that? You listening to me? She can do it then. I'm telling you, It can be a lonely place. This is not a drudge. I'm just trying to encourage you here that God's people doing God's work need God's help. And they need encouragement and supporters and all these guys. Lift them up. It's like Aaron and Hur holding up the arms of Moses. I'm going to tell you something. It took Moses. It took Joshua fighting the battle. But it also took Aaron and Hur holding the arms of Moses up. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. And I'm trying to encourage us here to be a band of people like these people who just went with Paul. Listen, if Paul went, they were going with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." You know, we live in a difficult world. Amen? We live in a difficult world. We are surrounded by people who need support. By the way, one of the great works of the church, and this, God willing, is part of Vision Night, but and so on, but one of the great works of the church is this middle section of our church motto, a heart for God, a home for you, a hope for all. That home for you means this, no matter who you are. No matter what your skin color is, what your national background is, no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter whether your life is a wreck or your life is great, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, makes no difference. You should find a home at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And in a home, people should care for each other. People should love on each other. People should support one another. May I say this? Let me brag on you a little bit. I've learned multiple times that this church is a very loving church. You love on each other. It should be that way. And I know it's hard for somebody not to fall through the cracks. I get it. But that's why we have adult Sunday school classes. That's why we have deacon care groups. That's why we have all of these kind of, because we're trying to seal up the cracks. Nobody falls through it. May I say it this way? Every person who calls this church their church home should know that they are loved, they are wanted, and they are supported. Let me encourage you today to reach out to somebody in your adult Sunday school class. Reach out to somebody on your bus route. Reach out. By the way, just make it a matter of prayer and say, God, show me somebody that needs to be encouraged. May I put it this way? If they're breathing, they need to be encouraged. Amen. But sometimes people are at a special time in life that all it takes is somebody to say a kind word to them. Or somebody to say, you know, I know you've been sick. I even know you're starting to get over it, but I want you to know I prayed for you today. Can I give you a silly illustration of this? It's silly. But God used it. The folks at Chick-fil-A, some of them know who I am. It was a particular day when I had gone to the hospital, and I'll be honest with you, I cannot remember what was going on. I don't know if it was a death or somebody dying, something like that. This has been many months ago now. There's a particular lady there. She's a sweet lady, loves God. She's a Christian. I don't even know her name. She knows me. She calls me the preacher man. She said, come up here, preacher man. This particular day, I guess sometimes your face is showing something that you don't realize yourself. This particular day, I was burdened. I didn't think I was showing it. Honestly, I didn't. I was walking in, come here, preacher man, whatever she said. I ordered a number one, because that's who I am. I'm number one. No, I'm just kidding with you. Ordered a number one, and I went to pull out my card, and this still blesses me. She said, not today. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. She said, I sense your burden, aren't you, preacher? You take this for nothing. She never knows. I never told her. what that little gesture did for me. You know what it showed me? Because I hadn't told anybody. It showed me God was whispering to one of his children, saying, "Encourage my son." The moral of this story, you want to encourage your pastor? Take him to Chick-fil-A. No, I'm just kidding with you. All I'm saying to you is this. It's not obvious what I'm saying. This world, if we're not careful, will just beat us down. Let us at Buffalo Ridge encourage each other. Be a supporter. Let me hold your hand up. Let me help hold your arm up. We may never know this side of eternity what that group of people that made that journey with Paul meant to Paul. But I'll guarantee you this, I know it meant something. William Booth, again, I've told you about him earlier, the founder of the Salvation Army. He felt the call of the Lord to go into the streets of London and began to minister to the street people. He stood in a conference meeting and requested permission from the presiding bishop at that time to be released from his church so he could go into the streets and preach to these dear folks. The bishop heard the request and denied it, telling Booth that they would not waste a man of his education and talent on the people of the streets. When he heard this truth, Booth sat down, very defeated. But there was somebody seated in the balcony. It was his wife. Back at this time in that place, the women were sitting in the balcony. And when she was watching all of this, his wife stood to her feet, leaned over the rail. Could you imagine seeing this? She leaned over the rail and she called her husband and she said, "You listen to God, not man." You see a lady doing that? "You listen to God, don't you listen to man." She vowed to stand with her husband against every enemy. You see that dear lady leaning over the rail? You live for God. You do what God does. And I'm with you. I don't care who's against you. Your wife is with you. Glory to God, that's blessing my heart. She came down from the balcony. William Booth took his wife by the arm. They left the building to go out into the streets and win people to Jesus. He was ready to quit. But his wife, a lady who usually stayed in the background, stepped out of her shadow and held his arms up at a critical time. You know, there's nothing wrong with a Christian admitting, "My arms are heavy. I'm discouraged." You know, it's not wrong to be discouraged. It's wrong to stay that way. And sometimes a discouraged Christian only needs another Christian that's in tune with God so much that even though it's not on their face, even though nobody's told them, the Holy Spirit of God says, "Give that meal to him free today." He needs something. Amen or not? Two major thoughts this morning. It's thoughts 6 and 7 in the sermon, but it's two major thoughts. One, the pursuit of the enemy. There's a group of people that have an ungodly cause and they are so dedicated they don't mind to be uncomfortable to get it done. Are you that dedicated to God? And then the patrons of Paul, the encouragers and supporters of Paul, that when he feels like the world's turning against him and here he has to leave for his life again, sometimes he's by himself, but when he went through the city of Berea, he picked up some people. And he had some people that were standing right beside him, watching over him, encouraging him, looking after him, making sure that he arrived safely to the city of Athens. God's going to use him greatly in the city of Athens. But God used supporters to help get him there. Support each other. Encourage each other. And by the way, you're on one of these two sides. You either need to be encouraged or you need to encourage somebody today. And if you need it, let us know. We'll be honored to come beside of you. Hold your arms up. May I ask it this way? Do these thoughts at least make sense today? If you say no, I'm going to start all over again. They at least make sense today, right? Then let's do something with it. Don't get up and leave and say, well, that was okay. Let's say, God, help me be dedicated. And give me somebody to show some support to. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless, guide, lead, and direct us now, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Today, I'd like to start where the Lord would have me to start, and that is most of the time, if not all of the time, with your salvation. The greatest support that you can have is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, who will never leave you, never forsake you. There may be somebody here today that you have never trusted Christ, you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, you've never confessed your sin to Him and asked Him to come into your heart to forgive you, to save you, to change you. If you have never made that decision, if you do not know that heaven is your home, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Is there one today, say, Jody, pray for me. If I died just like I am, even though I didn't preach along these lines, I know it, but the Holy Spirit can do what He wants to do here. You say, Jody, if I died just like I am, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to. I want to go to heaven. I just don't know if I am or not. If you want to go, but you don't know if you are, anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody say, Jody, I want to go to heaven. I just don't know if I am or not. Anybody like that at all? Then let me ask you this question. How many of you today say, Jody, I've been challenged by these two thoughts, whether it be dedication or whether it be offering support or needing support, and God is speaking to me. When He laid this message on your heart, He had me in mind. Be an honest person. If God spoke to you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. They're beginning to play through softly, and here's the invitation today. I didn't see anybody that is lost, or at least nobody responded with an uplifted hand, but the invitation to come and be saved is always open. You can come, let us know that you need Jesus. We'll be happy to help you. But today, I wonder, has God spoken to you about your dedication? Are you just kind of lukewarm? You're not against God, no. But you're not really all and out for Him either. Just kind of in the middle. God, give us fully dedicated Christians. Has God spoken to you today because there's somebody you need to support? Somebody you need to encourage? Matter of fact, let me ask it that way. Have you all know somebody? You know somebody, right? Not generally. Everybody could raise your hand saying somebody needs support because everybody does. But you know somebody. It may be somebody in your family. Maybe somebody in your Sunday school class. It may be somebody at work. But you say, Pastor Jody, there is somebody I know. I know that they need some encouragement. If y'all know somebody like that, would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? Then do it this week. Do it. They may just be waiting on you. Let me ask another question. I'm going to have Brother Gary to begin to sing here in just a moment. Have you say, Pastor Jody, I am one of those that need encouragement. May I say this to you? There are times in my life, multiple times in my life, the reason I'm not ashamed to ask this is because I would respond with you at times in my life. There's nothing wrong with saying, my arms are heavy. I need some help. I need some encouragement. How many today say, Jody, I'm the one that needs to be encouraged. Would you raise your hand? You say, I'm the one that needs it. I'm the one that needs it. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, Would you do me a favor? I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable. God knows my heart. I would never do that. So if you are uncomfortable with this, do not respond. But right now, if you say, I'm one that needs to be encouraged, would you get out of your seat and come to this altar for just a moment? I'd like for our ladies and our men to be paying attention to folks who are responding. And if a lady feels prompted to come pray with somebody that needs encouragement, don't be ashamed of this. You say, well, I need encouragement. I need support. Brother Gary, won't you just begin to sing, if you don't mind? Let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Gary singing. If you come and say, Pastor, my arms are heavy. I need some encouragement. You come. Or if you want to bring whoever you need to support to the altar, you come on now. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that, please? Come on.
All to Jesus.
I need encouragement. I need support.
I surrender.
God needs to help.
All to Him I freely give.
This is it. Come on.
I will
come get the help you need.
Love
come get the support you need.
Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Shannon, you go ahead. Isn't it a great thing for God's people to support each other?
Amen.
Come along beside each other and love on each other? It pleases God. Be a supporter. Be an encourager. Don't be ashamed to let somebody else know, I need encouragement. I need to be encouraged. This is it. Amen. No doubt about it. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. There's still time for you. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee.
Leave today, we're going to be dismissed in prayer, but as we leave today, if you're a guest, a visitor, you filled out one of those cards, I hope you did. If you'll please take your card out through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center. Got somebody there to greet you, give you a special gift just to say thank you for being here. Please take advantage of that. Let's be a church that's guilty of supporting each other. No question about it. Let's bow. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Be back tonight. Deacon officers, I remind you, I've got a meeting with you at 5. Just deacon officers now, not all deacons, just deacon officers at 5 o'clock. Be right in your place. Service tonight at 6:30. Brother Butch Abbott, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray, please.